All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the In the Huddle podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Sam Gold.
And I'm Chris Rotundo.
Well, you know, we got the whole divisional round of the playoffs, plus our championship day preview. So, Chris, honestly, there's so much to get into. I think we should just roll the intro, to be honest with you.
All right, let's do it.
You're listening to In the Huddle with Sam Gold and Chris Rotundo.
Okay, Chris, we're getting right into it. We will start with the worst game of the weekend just because I think, you know, there's a lot to talk about. There's some great games that just happened, some to get to, so I think it's only fair to get through Eagles-Giants fairly quickly here. Sorry, Giants fans, you just couldn't pull through. It's 38-7, and honestly, I mean, look, people, I picked the Giants just because I said last episode that if I had to bet money on it, it was probably going to be the Eagles, but, you know, I wanted it to be fun. I picked the Giants. Who knows? Anything can happen. Maybe they'll have a 2007 or 2011 type run this playoffs, but just didn't happen. I mean, the Eagles proved. Yeah, I bet you a lot of Eagles fans, as much as they thought they were definitely going to beat the Giants, I know in the back of their minds, they were a little bit nervous that they got the one seed and then they weren't going to prove why they were the one seed. And I think it's a weight off their shoulders this week that they went out there and just absolutely dominated. Every facet of the game looked good. Their defense has been insane this year. Jalen Hurts looked good, even though he's still not 100% healthy. And yeah, this is exactly what the Eagles needed to do to have this confidence going into the championship game. So honestly, props to them. The Giants, as much as a lot of us wanted them to win, they just, you know, they didn't do anything particular. Like, they didn't have a ton of crazy turnovers and mess ups. They were just out dominated, pure and simple. They were just the worst team. And, you know, you see yourself losing a divisional round of the playoffs after a lot of people picked you to have like 4 or 5 wins this year. That's an absolute win. So, you know, Brian Daboll is going to get coach of the year most likely. And just a sad way to go out. You probably wish it was more competitive, but, you know, the Eagles were just the better team, Chris.
Yeah, you know, I really don't have too much to say besides it was an ass-whooping, like some of us might have thought. The Giants picked the wrong time to have their worst game of the year. It wasn't even a game that you could say was respectable. It was a beatdown. They went down 14-0 in the first really quick, then 28-0 headed into the half. And the Eagles, they were just a better team here. And, you know, Sam, like you said, coming into the year, none of us had them having this good of a season. And what happened? They ended the season with 10 wins total, which is...
And a playoff win, yeah.
Well, yeah, well, 10 wins including the playoff win.
Yeah, so but, they way exceeded it. I mean, it would have been nice to at least keep it close or even fucking beat your rival in the playoffs, but... You had the Vikings win. That was your first win since, what, 2000? I mean, you guys didn't win in 2016, so what, it was first in, like, 10 years, right? So
yeah. So
yeah,
I mean
it's been
now,
a huge season.
Big off season for them. The extension with Saquon, how much is he going to get? What are they going to do with Daniel Jones? Are they going to extend him, or are they going to feel that they can get a quarterback such as a Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, someone who they feel is a bit of an upgrade over him? Jones, he looked good. Daboll was able to reel him in, limit the turnovers, and was he anything special? No, but the limiting the turnovers gave them more opportunities on offense, which is what you want. I don't think Jones is anything special. Yeah, he has the power to do it on the ground like we've seen all season, but I don't know. With me, I would be careful with the whole Jones thing, especially the Saquon extension, because Sam, I sound like a broken record at this point, but you extend the running back, you give him a big contract, and it doesn't lead to anything except for maybe works out for a year or two, and then they fall off, and you're not going to get a Super Bowl out of it. So it's going to be interesting, but it's going to be exciting next year. They get Wandale back. They have money they can do stuff in offseason with. Let's see. Do they try to bring in a top wide receiver? Do they draft another wide receiver? It's gonna be interesting, but props to the Eagles and Sam, yeah. We can just move on from this. I mean, all these games, it wasn't really that fun of a week of football. It was more mainly one-sided through all these games.
Yeah, it was kind of the opposite of last year. You know, we should have saw it coming after a crazy wild card weekend. That's kind of how the playoffs are. They kind of alternate. So I'm hoping the championship games will be better. But yeah, with the Giants, I mean, they're a well-run organization. I just think if you're going to pay both those guys, just don't sign them to long contracts and don't pay them a lot. I mean, what I think they're going to pay them a lot, both of them, Saquon and Daniel Jones. It's just, I don't know, you're in a tough spot if you're the Giants. I mean,
they're going to extend both of them, and they're going to overpay both of them.
Give Jones like $25 million a year for 3 years. Build around the rest of the team. Don't pay Saquon too much. I don't know. It's not going to work. This was the Giants fans. This sounds bad. I know you got a good coach. Please hold on to the season. Rewatch highlights all you want, because I still don't think the future is honestly that bright for you guys. I thought it was just a great season, but yeah, it's a weird spot. We'll talk about it more when we move on. All right, actually,
we're really quick, I kind of get some like this is weird, going to a different sport, like New York Knicks vibes from this. It's like you come into the season, no hope, you get a new coach, the Knicks got Tibbs, and they make the playoffs and they exceeded expectations, and then then the next year it could be definitely a step back, but then the third year could be good, like we're seeing now with the Knicks. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of just got that vibe because the first year, new coach, they exceeded expectations, made the playoffs. Same thing with the Giants. So I don't know why that connection kind of just hit me right now, but it could be interesting to see what happens this next year. But Sam, which game do you want to cover? Because to be honest, we can go
to the Chiefs, but honestly, I want to save that for last. We can do Bills-Bengals. Bengals win 27-10. The biggest surprise, I mean, Chris, I genuinely thought, especially after the Hamlin thing, that it was kind of just team of destiny. We both thought since August that the Bills were going to win the Super Bowl, and it just felt that way throughout the entire season. The different storylines, the fans shoveling that out the snow so they could fly to Detroit, then the team coming together after a tragedy, and then the kick return against the Patriots. And I don't know, it just felt like this was the Bills' season, and it all just kind of collapsed. And you could use whatever excuse you want, but the Bengals just, I hate to say it, but they just beat the shit out of them on Sunday.
I mean, people are going to try and say, oh, we didn't have Von Miller, this and that, but he's been out for a good part of the season. They've still been playing fine. They've still been winning games. The Bengals are just a better team. And as much as we want to see the feel good story, we all love them. It just doesn't happen all the time, and it's going to go down as a what if. And this season literally felt like the season for them to do it, and it didn't happen. And we're getting a rematch of either way, we were going to get a rematch of something.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a win-win in that sense. But I don't know. I really wish it was the Bills. You know, Steeler fans don't want to see the Bengals do well. But, man, got to give credit where credit's due. Bengals came in to Buffalo and just put a beating on them. I really don't have too much to say. I'm just shocked. The Bills literally played like they were on like 2 hours of sleep.
And honestly, some of them probably were, because there's been reports that they were just exhausted from the last few weeks. I mean, obviously, it's no excuse, but, you know, you're rather going to use what happens as more motivation, or you're just going to become exhausted. So I think either way, now watching the game through, I picked the Bills beforehand, but now watching how the Bengals played, I think it's pretty obvious they would have won regardless, and they probably would have won in week 17. So, you know, I was picking the Bengals to go to the Super Bowl most of midseason, and then I kind of strayed away from that. I felt like the Bills gained some momentum and they were going to become that team. But yeah, the Bengals they remind me a lot of the Chiefs when they won the Super Bowl. Just didn't, you know, kind of had a rocky start to the season, and then just got really strong towards the end, had a huge winning streak, and just been dominant. So, I mean, as a Chiefs fan, we'll get to our games in a little bit, but yeah, I'm definitely afraid. And it's just crazy. Like, I really pictured in my head it was going to be the Bills this year. I mean,
I think everyone
2020, they lost 38-24 against the Chiefs in the championship game. Obviously, they would have, you know, wanted to win that game. But, you know, that's like when the Chiefs lost against the Patriots. It's like, all right, we had a great season. We made it to the championship, whatever. Last year, I mean, we all know what happened last year. But I've seen online that people, that Bills fans are more sad about this loss Maybe it's just the type of person I am. I'd much rather lose like this than lose how they lost against the Chiefs last year. But yeah, it's just so many tough stretches for Bills fans. Look, Bills fans are getting on my nerves towards the latter half of the season. I'm going to put most of that blame just on social media. I'm sure if I went to a Bills game or I was at a Bills fan's house, they'd be fine. But, I mean, they got a little cocky and, you know, they're starting to become bridesmaids of the AFC to both the Chiefs and the Bengals. I hate to see it, but, you know, there's a lot of questions this offseason. So they got to figure out what's holding them back at the end of the day.
It's weird
don't want to let Josh Allen's prime just, you know, keep ending in bad playoff losses.
They're talented enough when they can easily win a Super Bowl, but I don't know what's holding them back. I mean, they had to go up against the Chiefs those 2 years, I understand, and the Bengals this year. But it's one of those things that nobody – it's not like they're a step below any of them. I mean, maybe they're slightly below, but it's not like we're talking about a team such as, like, let's say the Chiefs and the Jaguars in that sense. You know what I'm saying? They're right in the mix. It's not coaching. It's not quarterback. I really don't know.
Look, injuries are one thing. Yes, that did hurt him. But I think regardless if Von Miller was in there, they need another pass rusher as well. I mean, the fact that you're not able to get to Burrow at all through a backup offensive line.
Yeah.
I think that's a major issue. And look, Gabe Davis, he's fun when he's great. He has some spurts here and there. He has some long, you know, fun plays. But Stephon Diggs, I hate to break it to you, he's a top 10 receiver. He's not a top 5 receiver. He will go in and out sometimes. He will have a lot of games where he just has 4 catches for 46 yards. And as great as he is, you need another guy alongside Diggs. Your run game is very underrated. I like James Cook. But when Stephon Diggs is getting locked up, you don't really have any more options. And I think those are the two main things if you're the Bills. You got to get one more weapon, and you got to get a better defensive line.
I definitely agree with that, because I feel Gabe Davis, you know, he had that crazy game against the Steelers when he had, like, I think over 100 yards in the first half on 2 huge bomb touchdowns.
Yeah, I remember won me my fantasy game.
I think he had like 30 fantasy points in the first half. Like, I think Josh Allen had over 30 and Gabe Davis had over 30. But you also got to think, besides that, what has he really done all year? They need to get a better more well-rounded wide receiver too. I 100% agree with that. I think they got to do some. You think it's underrated. I think it just straight up sucks. Their run game, I think it sucks.
Wow. This is actually kind of crazy. He had 836 yards this year on just 48 catches. Do you realize how insane that is?
It's all deep balls.
He ranked third in yards per catch. That's 17 yards per catch. That's actually kind of nuts, though.
He's the deep guy. He's fine for a deep threat, but he's not going to be. I think they need to definitely get another number two in there. Maybe they get a guy. I don't know. Maybe they go on free agency and sign someone like a Jarvis Landry, a veteran that can take up that role. I don't know. I'm just thinking now.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what free agent wide receivers. They could get Mecole Hardman, but that's still not going to do anything. Yeah, there's not really many good. I don't know. Maybe they'll draft a guy. It's going to be. I feel bad. Like, okay, I was ranting about Buffalo fans mostly this entire season. You know, I'm not even going to say I feel bad, because that's just a stupid move for my part. Because then Bills fans are going to be like, shut up, keep the same energy. Now that we lost, now you feel bad. So I'll take it back. But it does kind of suck. Like, think about it, Chris. Your season ends, and now you just live in Buffalo until September. Like, you're just in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's...
Like, now you just have the realization. Like, what do you do if you're a Bills fan? You're just there now. Like, you don't have... I don't know. I don't mean to rub it in. I'm sorry. Okay. This is giving me... This is bad karma. I don't want to rub it in. Okay.
You eat wings all day? I don't know.
True. I do like wings. No, Buffalo was a nice city when I went there, and I did visit the stadium, and I thought that was also kind of Team of Destiny when I saw it. I was like, yeah, I could see them bring in a ring about a year from now. All right, no more rubbing it in. Cowboys, Niners, this is a team that we can rub it in. 49ers, 19, Cowboys, 12. Chris, since you were the biggest Cowboys hater out of the two of us, I would like to hear from you first.
Good, I'm happy they lost. Good. You know, the one thing I will say, I'm a huge Tony Pollard fan. I just want to say I feel awful for him that he had to get hurt. He broke his fibula. That was tough to watch as a huge Tony Pollard supporter. The backup running back, Ezekiel Elliott, he just sucks. The Cowboys, they've dug themselves in a hole with this whole situation with him. But, you know, enough about this. This game, Sam, this game was awful. Both teams awful. Offensively, it was terrible. I don't even know if you could say it was a defensive battle. I think it was just two offenses that sucked in this game. It was it was just terrible to watch. But the main story comes down to the last, what, Sam? 2 minutes, 3 minutes of the game? You had the 49ers.
Well, it wasn't only the last – yeah, it was the last two drives for the Cowboys because they didn't get it, and then they punted, and then they had the last chance.
49ers driving down. Elijah Mitchell gets a run, breaks it to seal the game. He runs out of bounds.
It's crazy. Yeah, that was crazy. If you go back to the last drive for the Cowboys, it's kind of insane how close they were to basically replicating what it was like last year, except Dalton Schultz this time, instead of getting a bunch of wide open completions like they did last year, where everyone was like, why are the 49ers just letting Dalton Schultz get a bunch of 12-yard catches? He was just the biggest idiot on the field. I mean, he's already going to be a free agent this season. You know Jerry Jones, he's gone now. So the fact that he stepped out of bounds and just had no awareness screwed the Cowboys even more. I'm going to put the loss on him. I'm going to put the loss on Dak. I'm going to put the loss on their offensive coordinator. Yeah,
it was just a team effort. I mean, and we can't forget – Dak almost threw it in, like, with the drive, that final drive, he almost threw a pick six on the first play.
Which it's just, was terrible. There should have been, both quarterbacks actually should have been picked off a few times more.
It's one of those things that's like, I've never been crazy about Dak. I don't really think he's all that good. And this season just proves that this was a terrible season. I'm pretty sure worst of his career. I know he missed a ton of time, but still led the league in interceptions. Hasn't gone back to back. He hasn't gone more than what? 2 weeks. He hasn't gone back-to-back weeks at all this season without throwing a pick.
Since 2019, yeah.
Which is just crazy. Very turnover-prone now. And, oh, man, I don't even know where to start with this team because they're one of those teams that, yeah, they have the talent to win and make the playoffs every year and give their fans hope, but that's all they do. And that's all they have been doing.
Their defense held the 49ers to 19 points. They held the 49ers to 9 points going into the fourth quarter. Like, that's huge. If you can't take advantage, I get it. The 49ers defense is the best in the NFL, so props to them. I'm not taking that away from them. But still, this is sudden death. You're in your seventh season as a quarterback if you're Dak. This is your I texted you during the game. I was like, in this final two drives, it's like, this is your last chance to prove that you're even worth being on the team anymore. Like, how do you just – and then their defense let up 10 points in the fourth quarter too. Like, their literally, defense played great, and then they screwed up too.
And we can sit here and be like, oh, yeah, they need to get rid of Zeke, this and that, which I think they do, but how? Who's going to want to eat up that contract? Who?
No one.
He's a backup running back now, and he's going to pay so much money.
It's funny because Dak didn't even get paid when they won their playoff game in 2018. I'm pretty sure he got paid like two, three years. No, yeah, last year, right? Didn't he literally get paid last year? Or was it 2 years ago? Yeah, last year. Oh my gosh. It's just – look, you know, I'm going to say something controversial. I don't really hate the Cowboys, to be quite honest with you. I don't hate them. I don't like them. I just don't hate them as much as everyone else does. Probably because I'm a Chiefs fan. And the Chiefs really have nothing to do with the Cowboys. So, I mean, like, it's fun to hate them. But, like, when it comes down to it, I don't really give a shit if they win or lose. Plus, I'm pretty sure Cowboys fans like the Chiefs because Mahomes is from Texas. Anyways, it does frustrate. The only reason I would honestly hate the Cowboys is because of how frustrating they are. Like, if they were good, at least I would respect them. But the fact that they make, you know, their fans being annoying are one thing, but what annoys me even more is just how fucking stubborn Jerry Jones is. And he's like, he finds a guy that's even remotely good in Dak Prescott or Zeke. Like, he doesn't think far ahead at all. He's just going for the big names, big money. You know he's going to pay Mike. Look, Micah Parsons is going to be one of the best defensive players for the next decade, but you know he's just going to pay him like the most ever in NFL history, and there goes more money down the drain. It's just it's just frustrating. Cowboys fans, you must have done something really fucked up, or at least your organization must have back in the 90s, 80s, 70s when you guys were great. Because it's just been it's been miserable. The fact that you had 13 total wins and it still just ends the same way we always know it's going to end.
It's year in, year out. It's one of those things. It's like, would you rather have a team like the Lions that just suck year after year, or would you rather have a team that gives you false hope every year? And the Cowboys are literally living proof that they just give you false hope every single year. And we've seen it. There's no need to get fooled by them at this point.
I mean,
until... I'm never going to give them a shot until they don't have Zeke anymore. And then I'll say, all right, then they can actually do something with it. Pollard is going to get franchise tagged.
Fuck it. Go for Lamar. Just trade Dak for Lamar and like a 2 first round picks, honestly. I don't even care anymore. Like just shut it down. I don't care that you won 12 games in the regular season. I don't care that you kicked the Bucks' ass in the playoffs. I just don't care.
Eight and nine teams' ass. It's like so.
I don't
impressive.
Care that you have a great defense. It all comes down to one thing. Like, okay, 49ers against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I'm not just saying this because I'm a Chiefs fan. Like, here's a real example. They had a great roster, great running game. Debo, a very solid defense. Kittle, within his best season so far in his career. Jimmy Garoppolo had to make one throw to keep them in that game or possibly win that Super Bowl. Couldn't do it. Like, that is always, no matter what you say, it's always going to be the most important position. Matthew Stafford, at the end of the day, no matter how their defense played, no matter how Aaron Donald played, yeah, Aaron Donald made the final play, but Matt Stafford had to go down there and drive that one last touchdown last year. Like, Dak can't do that. So just give up at this point. Vikings fans, you know the same thing. Raiders fans, you love Carr because he's a good guy, but you're secretly glad he's gone because you weren't winning shit with him. Like, it's the same thing, so... Just another wasted season for the Cowboys. I'm not even trying to make jokes or anything. It's honestly just frustrating now. So it's just frustrating to see any franchise be like this. Because they should be this incompetent year after year, especially with winning this much too.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. It's like, how do you get out of this? Do you tear it down? No, you have too much young talent to tear it down.
No, they're going to be too stubborn. They're not going to think. They're going to be pissed, and then training camp's going to come around. Dak's going to make a few nice throws. Jerry Jones is going to be out there on the field, and they're going to be like, oh, yeah, we're great, and we're going to win the fucking Super Bowl.
And it's
going
to be the entire same thing. Probably going to win 10, 11, 12 games, make the playoffs, and get booted wild card round. It's just the same old, year after year. But
all right.
Props to Brock Purdy, still hasn't lost. And what can you say? This is a Cinderella run right now.
I know the 49ers, I gotta say, they look better than they did in 2019. So, oh man, Brock Purdy, yeah. I mean, we already know Brock Purdy's gonna be the starter, so it's just don't put up 19 points. I know the Eagles defense is good, but if you put up 19 against Jalen Hurts, it's not gonna work. All right,
really quick, this 49ers team, man, I honestly think Shanahan should be coach of the year. Listen, they started out with Trey Lance. And then they went to Garoppolo, and now now they're down to Brock Purdy. That's three different quarterbacks they've had to deal with, and they're and they're probably the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, but the Giants roster is just 100 times worse than the 49ers roster.
I just think it's amazing how you can do that with three different quarterbacks and get
this
far. Yeah,
it is.
But then I also look with Dable. I also got to look the collapse kind of mid-season, this and that. And then you also have Pete Carroll with Geno Smith making the playoffs with another roster just like that.
There's a reason Andy Reid doesn't get nominated every year. I mean, we already know he's great. Kyle Shanahan doesn't need to be nominated.
I think Pete Carroll's probably.
Mike Tomlin doesn't get nominated every year.
I think Dable will probably win it, but I think Pete Carroll or Shanahan are more deserving of it.
Okay. All right. I'll leave it at that. That's for next week when it's the Pro Bowl and the honors.
The only reason I'm saying Shanahan's more deserving is because he had to deal with three different quarterbacks. Pete Carroll kind of the same situation as the Pete Carroll, the same situation as Dable. It's just Geno Smith ever coming into the year. Everyone thought he was way worse than Daniel Jones.
Okay. Well, there's more than just the quarterback to All right, you got
to look at the Seahawks defense, one of the worst as well.
Okay. I want to shift more to a positive note. There's so much going on in my head this week with the Chiefs. All right, so Chiefs 27, Jaguars 20. I said we were going to win. I said the Jags were going to cover. That's exactly what happened. So if you look at it on paper, yeah, about a normal playoff win. Great job, Chiefs. Oh, wait. All right. Let's actually get into it. I'm going to start with the positives before we get to Mahomes. I'm going to start with the positives. Our defense played very well. There was one or two drives where it looked like vintage Chiefs, you know, giving up way too many yards. And the Jags scored too quick. And I was like, oh, my God, if we're like this against any better opponent, we're going to suck. But I got to say, overall, it was a net positive for the defense. We had two turnovers. The Jalen Watson interception was just beautiful with the one hand. He had the 99-yard pick six in week two against the Chargers, and now he has this already on his resume. He's a seventh-round pick this year. He's a rookie. Both him and Isaiah Pacheco are seventh-round picks. So those are definitely two positives to start right off the bat. Both of them played great. Pacheco averaged 7.9 yards a carry and also had that huge run with Chad Henne in the game. I gotta say, I mean, okay, no, we can't do too many positives without avoiding Mahomes. So I guess we'll just talk about it. All right, so obviously Mahomes goes down with the ankle injury. I already think the season's over immediately because just looking at the replay, I am honestly shocked that it wasn't anything worse than a high ankle sprain. I know a high ankle sprain is a bad injury, but I thought for sure he broke his ankle. That was fucking crazy. It really sucked in the moment because, like, when something like that happens, everything that flashes through your head is the whole season that just went by, and you just feel like it all just kind of went to a waste. So it was really depressing for most of that first half. And then Chad Henne came in, and we were backed up on our own 2-yard line. And then next thing you know, a few minutes later, we're in the end zone. And that kind of turned around my whole perspective on this team. And honestly, if I had to give one MVP in this game, it's going to be Chad Henne. Because not only once, but now twice in 3 years, Chad Henne has won us a divisional round game. If you don't remember, he came in during the Browns game 2 years ago. It was like a 3rd-and-14, something like that. He ran it all the way down for 13 yards, and then we had the balls to go for it on fourth down. Chad Henne made a beautiful throw to Tyreek Hill, and we ended the game right there. This time he comes in. No, they don't just run it the whole time. He makes multiple very solid passes, a lot of them to Kelce, old reliable. By the way, another MVP, 14 catches. That's just absolutely insane for the GOAT. And then Isaiah Pacheco with the run of the day, the 40-yard run down to the 2-yard line, and then the touchdown to Kelce. So that right there basically won us the game. Because think about it. We tied 10-10 in the second half, Chris. Before that, we were tied 10-10. And there's only a 7-point difference. We won 27-20. That's 7-point difference. Chad Henne, 98-yard touchdown drive. So, honestly, those are the huge positives from the game. Patrick Mahomes, obvious negative. But right now, Chris, it's Friday. And I couldn't be more happier, to be honest, because look, Mahomes is not going to be any better than 75-80% going into Sunday.
If this is regular season, he's not playing. He's only playing because it's the playoffs.
However, this dude's a superhero. For some reason, look, Andy Reid's not the doctor, but he did say that Mahomes' ankle looked better than his high ankle sprain in week one of 2019, which is just fucking nuts.
That's what happens when you have some youth.
I mean, think about it, Chris. The 3 years he's had an injury, we've went to the Super Bowl all three times. 2019, he had the high ankle sprain in week one, and then he dislocated his knee against the Broncos in primetime, went on to win the Super Bowl. 2020, I just mentioned Chad Henne. He went out with an injury, a turf toe, and we went to the Super Bowl. This year, high ankle sprain, this might be his worst injury of his career, we'll see. But I don't know, it feels like Team of Destiny now for the Chiefs. I maybe I shouldn't use that phrase because I just screwed myself over with the Bills all season. But I don't know. I'm just so fucking happy we got the win. I love Mahomes' passion. I mean, this guy's a saint to me. He's a saint to me. He's a saint to any fucking Chiefs fan out there. He's completely changed my life. I don't know if I would be as passionate about NFL if it wasn't for Mahomes. I mean, I was still a huge – I mean, football was my entire life before Mahomes was drafted, but I didn't know there was even this extra level of love for football until Mahomes came in. So the CMB injured really put me into perspective of what life without Mahomes is like. It definitely put me in a spot where I became a lot more grateful, even though throughout these seasons I've said how grateful I am to be a Chiefs fan, but – man, when he came in, I was definitely worried for him. He made some bad decisions. I don't necessarily want him running that first down for 5 yards while he's hobbling. But, man, when we needed it the most, he put up 10 more points. He got the touchdown pass to MVS. We fucking won the game. Our defense showed out. Chris, I'm out of breath. I don't know what else to say. I'm just so fucking happy.
I mean, yeah, it was a good game all around. You know, Jaguars didn't really expect them to win, but got to give props to them. Another team nobody thought would get here. And I'm just excited to see them next year. Chiefs, I'm glad they won simply because the fact that we were going to get a rematch. I thought we were going to get a rematch of the Bills, but why not get a rematch from the Bengals, which people are talking about, oh, Chiefs and Bills are the rivalry. No, it's Bengals-Chiefs now. Burrow's never lost to Mahomes yet. Last year, beat them to go to the Super Bowl. And Sam, I text you and I said, if he does it again this year to beat the Chiefs, you got to start talking about the Bengals being the team to beat in the AFC while it's no longer the Chiefs. So
they are the team to beat in the AFC. They went to the Super Bowl. I hate that argument. Like, I get it. The Chiefs went to 5 straight. But
I'm saying like going into next year, people need to say the Bengals need to be the favorites. It can't be the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs were not favorites coming into this season either. It was the Bills.
I don't even know who the favorites were, to be honest with you. I totally forgot about Bills, that.
But the Chiefs weren't even the favorites to win the division. They had an over-under 10.5 wins, so. Anyways, right. Yeah, Chris, I'm just so fucking happy we got out of there with a win. This whole week we've been monitoring the ankle, and hopefully, you know, I'm not expecting anything great, but just, you know, just keep resting and thank you, Chad Henne. Thank you, Isaiah Pacheco. Thank you, Jalen Watson. Thank you, Frank Clark, who had a great game once again. He always shows out in the playoffs. Thank you to our corners for not letting Christian Kirk do much in the second half. Thank you to Andy Reid for being smart, taking him out, and then bringing him back in just because the doctors cleared him. Thank you to the fucking fans for showing out. Just everything. Like, it's just the fact that we're in 5 straight AFC championship games is wild. And I don't know. I just can't get over the fact that we're in it again. I mean, it's just fucking crazy. We'll get to the Chiefs-Bengals recap in just a second, or preview in just a second. We'll do our weekly 2-second break because we're running out of Zoom time. But yeah, for us, I think that's it. Happy for the Chiefs. The Jags, great season, but just came up a little bit short. I'm sure we'll see them again in the future years. But yeah, Chris, let's move on to the previews of the championship games.
All right, Sam, really quick before we get into the predictions, I don't know how we forgot about mentioning some coaching news that took place over the last few days. Frank Reich is now going to be the new head coach of the Panthers. Giants defensive coordinator Wink Martindale is going to be have his second round of head coaching interview for the Colts. I know their offensive coordinator as well is getting interviewed as well. Oh, yeah. Texans interviewed Mike Kafka. I hope not butchering that name for a second round.
The Jets signed Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah. What the fuck was up with that?
I mean, look. Nathaniel Hackett. Look, I get it. The name is now just soured around the league, but I'm sure he'll be fine as a coordinator. Some guys are terrible as head coaches.
You know what? You know, I'm not even. Yeah, I agree.
Look at Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles. Okay, yeah, exactly. I think
you know, give it a chance.
I just think that I'm just so tarnished by what happened this season. But I mean, hey, listen.
But some people are just not fit for coaching, for head coaching.
You're right, and they're just better coordinators. So
we'll
you know
see what happens.
The Jets apparently interviewed 15 people, but then again, it's the Jets, so they could probably.
I saw Todd Bowles in person at the combine, and he was so creepy looking. So I just had to say that. He was so creepy. Like, you know that weird smile he does? Like, it doesn't stop.
Good. I'm happy for him.
Like, he was just talking to people. I saw him. I don't know. But anyways.
Dan Quinn said that he has unfinished business here, and he's going to say it's a defensive coordinator. And you know what? Honestly, I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, well, you're going to have unfinished business for a while. I think that's for the best. You stay another year. You have another good year for defense. You only get your name even higher up in teams for rankings, this and that. Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator, more than a head coach. It's one of those things. I know the head coach has more money.
It's also more stress.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're still a head coach. All right. I mean, the only other thing I have to say about this hirings is the Frank Reich. Like, I'm so sorry, Panthers fans. I like the Panthers. I don't know. I just kind of like them. They're an underrated team. No one really talks about them. I just feel bad for their fans, to be honest. Just keep watching 2015 regular season highlights, I guess, until you guys figure out how not to be a dysfunctional organization. I don't know what's going to happen. Hey, maybe you could make a push for Lamar. I don't know. But Frank Reich, he's fine, but I don't know. Just
God, the Panthers are in such a terrible spot. They literally have no future. Like, what quarterback do they have?
Yeah, unless they get lucky with the quarterback pick or they somehow get Lamar. I mean, I feel bad. Anyways, all right. We just talked a bunch about the Chiefs. We got two games left. Three games left in total, just to cover.
That's actually pretty sad. So
we'll start
with
the NFC championship.
All right, we'll start NFC. Yeah, it's all right. 49ers, Eagles.
Chris, I feel like this hasn't gotten that much coverage in the media. I feel like it's
because
all the Chiefs-Bengals talk.
Yeah, because why would they be talking about this when they could be talking about all the media has the injury thing with Mahomes. You have the rematch, this and that, while 49ers-Eagles equally as exciting, in my opinion, but just there's more of a storyline between Chiefs and Bengals. So
I guess we'll start a better game, honestly.
We'll start out in the NFC. Eagles are 2.5-point favorites, 46.5 point total. Eagles here. I'm sticking with my 49ers here. I think they're going to make the Super Bowl. I think this ends for the Eagles. I saw a video, and I'm not surprised, of an Eagle fan who pepper sprayed a Giant fan for wearing an Eli Manning jersey.
All that.
I think it was in a bar somewhere for no reason. So are we really surprised that an Eagle fan did that? Absolutely not. And I would love nothing more than the Eagles to lose now. Listen, they beat the Giants. I saw Giant fans acting like this is going to be a repeat with Eli Manning, all that, yada, yada, yada. No, so Giants lost. Now Eagles, it's time for you guys to lose. This season comes to an end and the 49ers win. I'll give my quick score. And also the reason I'm picking the 49ers is for two reasons. One, Jalen Hurts isn't 100% still, I feel. And two, defense wins championships. What do the 49ers have? A top defense. So going with the 49ers here, making it back to the Super Bowl, and they will win, I'm going to say, 29-24.
Okay. This is great because I know for a fact you're going to pick the Bengals. So let's have two split games going into the championship weekend. I was going to pick the Eagles regardless, but I'm glad you picked the 49ers.
How did you know I was going to pick the Bengals really quick? How did you know?
Just because. I don't know. I just knew you were going to pick the Bengals. Why would you pick the Chiefs? Come on. I already know all the points you're going to use. All right. I have them in my head. I'll tell you if I'm right after. Okay. Eagles, you just said, here's the main matchup. It's going to be 49ers offensive line versus Eagles pass rush. Chris, you want to take a guess how many sacks the Eagles have this year? Seventy. That is top five all time in NFL history. But you also want to know who has one of the best offensive lines in the NFL? The 49ers. I don't know. It's going to be close. It's all going to depend. I'm not worried about Hurts. I know you're worried about him a little bit because he's not 100%. I am way more worried about Brock Purdy against the Eagles pass rush and this defense. I know Brock Purdy can move around. He can make some plays. I just don't know. He's been undefeated, so there's only positive things to say about him.
Wait,
but
time out. Is this right? Eagles have 70. The next closest team's the Chiefs with 55.
Just about to mention. I bet you right? Most listeners had no idea the Chiefs are second in sacks in the NFL.
Yeah, that didn't even surprise me because the bright side about their defense is that it is their line.
It's Chris Jones, who, by the way, another crazy sack, Chris. Chris Jones has never had a sack in the playoffs in his career.
You said that last year, and that's something that I didn't think was I didn't even know that.
That's
even
fucking
true.
Wild. Because guys like Frank Clark are the ones that always come up in this. I mean, Chris Jones plays well in the playoffs. He just doesn't get the sack. Yeah. All right, going back to the Eagles, though, I think it's going to be right down to the wire. I feel like both of these games could hit the under this weekend. I don't know what the exact over-unders are, but these two defenses are going to come out strong. I think it's going to be ugly in the first quarter, and then we're going to see some crazy tight moments in the second quarter or second half. And I really can't give too much predictions of what exactly is going to happen, but my gut instinct is the Eagles are going to be down by 4 with about 2 minutes left, and Jalen Hurts is going to run it in for a touchdown, and then their defense is going to do just enough to keep away from the 49ers. That's just what I'm picturing in my head. And honestly, I'm trying to think of a score. I'm going to go 23-20 Eagles. Yeah, right. I think it's going to be lower scoring. I think it's going to be right down to the wire. I think it's going to come down. Truly, it's going to come down to Brock Purdy right at the end of the game. He's got to make a big throw. Maybe to Hail Mary. I don't know. Maybe it's just to get a first down to keep the drive alive. Maybe to try to get a field goal. Yeah, probably to try to get a field goal because I have 23-20. So it's going to be fun. I think this is going to be the better game out of the two. Man, this is really close, honestly. I'm very excited because we haven't seen a lot of non-rematches in the playoffs, at least for the NFC this year. The only non-rematch was 49ers-Cowboys last week. So we've not seen these two teams match up this year. So this is going to be extremely interesting. I think we're lucky to get this matchup because I think anything else would have been more lopsided. So going into Philly, going into Lincoln, the Link, as Brock Purdy, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, that would really put him on. I know he's already on everyone's radar, but that would really put him on everyone's radar. Like, that's just, we'll see. I want the Eagles to win now. I want it to be the Kelce Bowl. I want Andy Reid to his former team. That would be a lot of fun. So rooting for the Eagles, I'm going to say 23-20. Yeah.
All right, Sam. Should we move on to the AFC?
Yeah, you can go first.
You already know what I'm going to say, right? I'm just going to get out of the way. I think the Bengals win. I think they win again. I think Burrow becomes 4-0 against the Chiefs, but I don't think this loss happens in any old fashion. I think the overtime rules come into play. I think this is game go to overtime. I think the Bengals win. Sam, I really hope you're thinking the same score. 34-31 Bengals.
Okay, no. I don't think it's going to be that high scoring.
But I think 34-31.
Oh, no, not another 3-point loss. Please, God. Chris.
Yeah, I think the Bengals meet up with the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Well, here's the good news. I'm not going to fucking act like how I acted a year ago today, being all confident picking the Chiefs.
Let's re-roll. Let's roll the tape.
Yeah, no. It's crazy because it kind of feels – it almost feels reversed this time around. Not for the best reasons, you know, because Mahomes isn't 100% healthy. That's not – I'd rather not have it like that. However, I have to say, I feel a different kind of way this time coming in. It's a little more peaceful. I feel less nervous. I feel less confident, but I also feel less nervous. I don't know. It kind of feels like the pressure has been taken off a little bit for the Chiefs this time around. I know as of right now, the Chiefs are back to being favored by, what, 1.5, just because Mahomes is getting healthier each day. But I still feel like we're the underdogs regardless. I mean, when you pin the two best quarterbacks in the NFL next to each other, one's 100% healthy, the other's like 70% healthy. I feel like the 70% should be, you know, the underdogs regardless. I know we're at home. But look, they beat us 3 times. They own us. I said I was more happy that the Bengals won over the Bills. And I'm not, you know, I hope that's not my famous last words because the Bengals might just kick our ass. But, you know, I'd feel better losing to the Bengals. I know there's tons of Chiefs fans out there that are, like, horrified at the thought of going 0-4 against Burrow. But we're already 0-3. Like, that's already horrible enough. Like, we don't have anything to lose. We only have stuff to gain at this point. They're already calling it Burrowhead. They're already cocky. It kind of feels like the tables are shifting to where now we need to prove something against the Bengals and get revenge on them. So, I don't know. I kind of like it this way. It's kind of giving me a weird feeling of Zen where I just I'm going to sit down. I'm sure the second kickoff happens, I'm going to be shitting myself. I'm sure of it. I'm already getting a little nervous. Like, I'm shaking my hands a little bit. Just hearing the fact that it's Bengals Chiefs again just gets me riled up. It's just fucking crazy. It's me versus my dad again. Just getting flashbacks to when Evan McPherson hit that field goal. Everyone was fucking cheering, and I just had to sit there and take it. It's tough. It's tough watching your team blow a 21-3 lead. You know, we blew another 21-3 in 2018. We blew a 38-10 in 2013. So it's been a lot. It's been a lot. And, you know, Chris, I know I sound spoiled, and it's definitely because I'm spoiled. But, you know, when you're a team this great.
At least you admit it. At least you admit it. I know some fans wouldn't admit it.
But look. Look, only few franchises have this type of window of greatness in front of them. And I recognize that. So you have to be greedy as a fan. Like you realize these opportunities only come once in a lifetime for sports fans. So now that we have Mahomes, now that we won a Super Bowl early in his career, now that we've been to 5 straight AFC championship games, there's nothing more than I'd want to win the fucking Super Bowl every single year. And I'm greedy for it. And I'm pissed off about last year. So I hope to God we go out there and prove everyone wrong. Mahomes plays to the best of his ability. Our defensive line finally gets some fucking pressure on Burrow. Chris Jones finally gets his first playoff sack. Our receivers, can you stop playing zone on Jamar Chase? Play too high, man. Get a safety over there. Fucking shut the man down for once. Get in Burrow's head. Make the stadium loud as fuck. Use the run game. Isaiah Pacheco averages 7 yards a fucking carry, it seems like. Give him the ball at least 15 times. Block your ass off of your the offensive line. Protect Mahomes. Go out there and go fucking upset the Bengals because, man, I realize there's only a small window of opportunity. I don't want to become the new Packers and win one Super Bowl early and go 16 other years without fucking winning any rings or going to any other Super Bowls. I don't want to be a Saints fan with Drew Brees, only one ring. I don't want to be a Seahawks fan where there's only one ring. I don't want to be fucking... I don't know. I'm trying to think. Most people just have one or zero rings. I don't want to do that. I want Mahomes to go out there and prove why he's the new best quarterback in the NFL. I want him to add this to his resume. I want him to go out there with a hobbled leg and fucking beat their enemy that they are owned by right now. Okay. So, you know, I got to get this passionate. This might be the last time we talk about the Chiefs.
The blood pressure rising a little bit. Now, next week,
I very well recognize that this could be the last time we preview a Chiefs game until 2024. I've been very lucky on this podcast. You know, we went to a Super Bowl. We did lose it last season. You know what just happened. I had a radio show back when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl at Lynn University, and that was fucking a blast covering them winning the Super Bowl. So I've been very lucky.
Where the hell's my luck with the Steelers? I'm stuck with Matt Canada.
You know, Chris, we did have 2020 where it did seem like for a second there could have been Chiefs Steelers in the championship game. But, yeah, you guys lost the Browns. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was really worried that the Chiefs were going to pull Steelers against the Jags. But I don't know. I mean, my throat's hurting, so I'm going to just do my score prediction now. I'm just so fucking happy about this team. You know, no matter what happens, I feel a little bit better than I did last year. I'm just happy that we were doubted so much this season. We came out, went 14-3, got the one seed. Mahomes is going to win MVP, and we're in the championship game again. So honestly, no matter what happens, obviously I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be extremely devastated if we lose this game. But overall, I just know it was a great season, so that makes me feel satisfied. But there's only one more other goal in mind. It's to go out there and fucking win and go to win the Super Bowl. So let's pick the Chiefs to win this game in an upset, and I'm going to do it in the most perfect of circumstances. Chris, the last two games the Chiefs have played against the Bengals, we've lost 27-24 both times. So I think it's only perfect. In overtime, Harrison Butker kicks the game-winning field goal to send us to Arizona. Chiefs win 27-24. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys next week for the championship recaps. Go Chiefs.
That was a sick ending, Sam, to that. That was nice.
Cheers.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.